A few years ago, the renowned Canadian philosopher Charles Taylor wrote an 800-page book called A Secular Age. It immediately became essential reading for any scholar trying to come to grips with the decline of religion. The book has spawned multiple conferences and follow-up books, and Taylor has emerged as a kind of wise man who spent a lifetime reflecting on the struggle to find meaning in a post-religious world. Steve Paulson recently sat down with Charles Taylor for a wide-ranging conversation on everything from Nietzsche's death of God to the disenchantment of the modern world.
Let me invoke the great sociologist Max Weber, whom you've written about at length. He argued that modern society had lost its sense of living in a magical world, and he made the case that we now live in a disenchanted world. Do you share that assessment?
Yeah, but I think that Weber sometimes slid around in his use of the word. I liked his word, Entzauberung in German, which just means demagification, right? The end of magic. And that change undoubtedly happened. We no longer in the West feel we live in a world in which there are spirits of the woods that could threaten our cattle or could take us over and so on. The sense of being vulnerable to this is really gone. We really feel we live in a deadened world, which is why some people react by saying it's too dead, you know, we have to re-enchant it, right? Mm-hmm. That has very little to do with religious faith, I mean, except the other way around, that it was certain kinds of religious faith like Reformed Protestantism and Catholicism, which helped to drive out that view of the world as enchanted, right? It was thought to be not properly Christian. Hmm. So the issue of whether we live in an enchanted world and the other issue of whether we believe in God or not have become totally separate from each other. I mean, the idea that rationalistic scientific outlook makes it impossible to believe and so on turns out to be sociologically not really what has been happening.
So if it wasn't because of science that we lost that outlook, what has made the change?
Along with the enchanted world was the idea of living in a meaningful cosmos, a meaningful universe, right, in which there were levels of being and some higher, some lower. So if you get medieval monarchy or early modern monarchy, like in France, the idea was the king is kind of on a higher cosmic plane than everyone else, and therefore there has to be a king, right? Otherwise your society is badly ordered. And we moderns in the West have done away almost totally with that, if you like, sacred canopy.
So to get back to this question of enchantment and disenchantment, have we lost something now that the world has become disenchanted, this world of spirits and demons and all of that?
Yeah. I mean, I think we have. Let me point to a very big movement in Western culture, which is based on that idea. The whole Romantic movement in poetry and literature and so on is based on something like that.
Can you explain that? How did the Romantic movement play on this sort of...
Well, the Romantic movement, I mean, it's carried mainly in poetry, so it's not clear ideology. But let's take someone like Wordsworth. Well, he speaks of a great force running through nature and all things, right? Now, it's very, very vague. But the idea is that I respond to nature as something that I have to answer to and have to open myself to in order to have a proper human life.
And then there's a religious sensibility there, isn't there? Even though he wouldn't use
that language.
Yeah,
there's something like a religious or spiritual sensibility there, right. And there's a very strong feeling that if you take the purely technological stance, you know, you walk into this forest and what you see is a lot of lumber that can be cut down and shipped to to China, as against seeing a vast wilderness. Think of Thoreau as an example, right? An American example, right? In wildness is the preservation of the world, I think is a famous line from Thoreau. See? So it's a completely different stance towards the universe around us. On one hand, purely utilitarian, we're going to cut all this stuff down because we can sell it to the Chinese, etc. On the other hand, here's something we have to respect, we have to try to understand, we have to feel what it's saying to us. The ecological versus the technological, if you like. Yeah. This battle is central to modern Western culture.
But it would seem that the technological side of things has basically won out. I mean, there certainly are the romantics among us today, but in terms of sort of the dominant ethos of society, it would seem to be the more technological that has triumphed.
Yeah, it's won out up to now. I hope we can reverse this up to now in terms of what drives the policies, you know. Now, this is becoming more acute when we look at the actual dangers by something like global warming. So I think we may see a change in our behavior. I hope we will.
Well, let me bring God into the discussion here.
Yeah.
It would seem that a godless world used to be something that caused a huge amount of angst and soul-searching. I mean, Nietzsche talked about the death of God, but it also mm-hmm. filled him with a certain amount of dread. And the great existential thinkers of the 20th century struggled with the idea of living in a world without ultimate purpose. Nowadays, most atheists don't seem to worry at all about losing God. And I guess the question is, are they missing something?
Well, they probably are missing something, but not necessarily directly God. I mean, to be historical about this, the relevance of God in Christendom before this developed was mainly an issue of salvation or damnation. That is, the issues were seen differently. And the fact that we see the issues so much in terms of meaning is to do with what we've been talking about, disenchantment, more than to do with an issue of God or not God. Because a lot of the romantic poets found a re-enchantment that didn't necessarily involve God. But it's the sense of the fragility of that for us that is angst-producing, right? And Nietzsche introduced a kind of very superlative or hyperbolic version of that. He uses God as a kind of symbol. The death of God is the death of what looks like the death of any kind of overarching meaning, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what he's using it as a kind of metaphor. The issue is this sense of what's the purpose of my life? I mean, supposing I have the totally technological view and I just want to take this forest in British Columbia and chop it all down and make money with it and so on. Well, to what end? Is getting a lot of money enough to give meaning to my life? That kind of thing.
So isn't this perhaps the great existential question of our own age is can you have meaning in a world without God or without some overarching purpose if meaning is more than just kind of your own private construction of purpose? I mean, if you want meaning in some larger cosmic sense.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. Without some kind of input from outside, some kind of call from outside, I don't think you can. But it's an interesting issue we could still vigorously debate. Like we were talking about someone who has this romantic sense of nature is feeling a kind of call from outside. I mean, this woods, this wilderness is kind of calling on me to open and listen and see what it's all about, right? Well, without something of that from outside, I don't think you can develop, a sustainable, defensible notion of meaning in our lives. And most people do. And most people find history, I mean, they can be they're very nationalistic, the tradition of their country, or they're committed to the continuation of democracy or something beyond simply their own lives.
Now, we were talking about the move that so many people have made in recent years, defining themselves as spiritual but not religious. Does that go back to William James? I mean, it sort of.
Yeah.
He was the one who really celebrated a religion as personal experience, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you could say this, that it's something that was pioneered in the United States first, right? As also were a lot of New Age notions, which you find moving around in people's minds in the turn of the 19th to 20th century, right? And William James was a fantastically powerful articulator of this. His varieties of religious experience is just incredible in the way it gave a structure to this and so on. And he's, you know, it's a wonderful stylist. I mean, the way he can express himself is so great that you go back and look at it again and again and again. It's more than 100 years since he gave those lectures, and they still ring very true.
Have we lost, and when I say we, I guess modern Western society, have we lost a sense of mystery in our lives?
Well, I don't think we've lost it, but I think we all have this sense of mystery. We've got Thoreau back in the Concord and looking in the woods, and he has this very powerful sense. So what we're dealing with is a very widespread phenomenon where people are saying, I mean, I just feel that. You will never stop the human soul from having a sense of mystery.
What does mystery mean to you?
Well, I think that there's a more exact meaning to it than, you know, murder mystery. It means that there is something deeply puzzling, first thing, that is also deeply important. And the third and most important feature, I think, between being puzzling and important beyond that, is that the way to get into it is by, as it were, getting into it, communicating with it, responding to it, rather than the way we do in science, we objectify it, We withdraw from it emotionally, as it were, objectified, and then try to see how it works, the way you would do with how, you know, your car is broken down. That's how you would fix your car. Mysteries are things that can be, I mean, it's connected to the Greek word for initiation. You have to get initiated into them, as it were, to begin to come to grips with them.
Is this fundamentally a religious act, to get into mystery?
Yeah, I mean, you could call it that, but the problem is that the meaning of the word religion here is so vague. I mean, I could say I'm an atheist, I don't believe there's any God there or anything, but I still have a sense that the world can tell me something, you know? The universe, the wilderness, forest can tell me something, and those people are having a sense of mystery. Now, if you want to say that is religion, okay, but we have to be clear what we mean by religion.
Charles Taylor is a philosopher at McGill University. His books include A Secular Age and the essay collection Dilemmas and Connections. He spoke with Steve Paulson.